Galatians. Book of Galatians. Chapter 6 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 6. And we're going to read down to verse number 10. Galatians 6, 6, down to verse number 10. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's stop now. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to preach this very practical, helpful portion of Scripture tonight. May the Holy Spirit speak to hearts tonight. Help Carl, too, as he's preaching in the back. Just give us a good meeting tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to talk tonight about the principle of sowing and reaping. I think most people here are familiar with this principle. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man plants two compass, he does not expect to get peace. You reap what you sow. You cannot plant an apple tree and expect to get oranges. That's not the way it works. You reap what you sow. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 and verse 13 says, sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Now, our Lord often spoke of sowing and reaping. Keep your place in Galatians. We'll look at Matthew. The Lord often spoke about sowing and reaping. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse number 3. Matthew chapter 13. And look at verse number 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then when you get down to verse number 18, the Lord explains the parable of the sower. And look at verse 24, another parable putting forth unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed a good seed in his field. So the Lord often spoke about sowing and reaping. Also, John 4:36. John chapter 4, verse number 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, and another reapeth. So the Lord talked about sowing and reaping. So the Apostle Paul, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Here, reaping and sowing refers to giving. And you reap what you sow when it comes to giving. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. So the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus and the prophet Hosea and others in the Bible talk about sowing and reaping. Theo Moody, the great preacher, preached a lot about sowing and reaping. I've read some of his sermons on sowing and reaping. They're quite interesting, really well written, good Bible messages on sowing and reaping. D.L. Moody said this, no other truth in the Bible is more solemn than sowing and reaping. Moody's messages on sowing and reaping are fascinating to read. They were filled with true stories of sowing and reaping. Marie Antoinette going to the guillotine. King Henry III of France getting stabbed to death in the very same chamber where he had contrived the cruel massacre of the Huguenots. A lot of fascinating stories D.L. Moody would tell about sowing and reaping. Moody often told a story, true story, about a crook who came under great conviction at one of Moody's meetings. And Moody advised the man, go back to the authorities, turn yourself in. And the man took Moody's advice and turned himself in. He wound up in prison. And the story was a heartbreaking story. But it had a happy ending because eventually the governor gave the man a pardon and the man was released from prison and reunited with his wife and children. It was a beautiful story about reaping and sowing and sowing and reaping. And many people accused Moody of making it up. They said, I don't believe that story's true. I think he's telling that story to get people to, you know, touch their heartstrings and move people during your meetings and, you know, manipulate them and so on. Well, one particular meeting, a man stood up and he defended Moody and stood up right in the middle of it and said, that story's true. And somebody said, how do you know? And the man said, I'm the governor. I'm the man that gave him the pardon. So Moody was vindicated again. The governor was right there in that meeting. And he said, that was a true story. I know. I'm the one who gave him the pardon. But Moody preached a lot about sowing and reaping. Now, I said a few minutes ago when we looked at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, that you reap what you sow when it comes to giving. Let me spend a little time with that tonight because that is so important. I think even people who have been saved for a while don't really understand this. That when it comes to giving, you reap what you sow. Let's go back to Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and look at verse 6. Let him that is taught, and that will be just about all of us, right? Let him that is taught in the word, and that's why we're here tonight, we're being taught in the word. So we come to church, come to Sunday school, come to preaching service, come to prayer meeting, we're being taught in the word. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, communicate means to share. Means to share. For example, in my Scofield Bible in the margin, next to share, next to communicate, it has share with him. Share. It means to share with the teacher material things such as money, food, housing, transportation, clothing, and so on. Let him that is taught in the word share or give to those that are teaching the word in all good things. Not just some good things, all good things. Now, that's the idea here in Galatians 6:6. You do reap what you sow when you give. I've heard it many, many times, and I believe it with all my heart. You cannot outgive the Lord. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. A familiar verse, one that I never get tired of reading and preaching. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give it to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. What's he saying? You reap what you sow. When it comes to giving, you reap what you sow. So let him that is taught in the Word, meaning the Word of God, communicate or share with him that teacheth in all good things. Hebrews chapter 13. You're not going to turn there, I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. There's that word again, communicate. You see the word quite a bit in the King James Bible, though we don't use it that way these days. The word communicate has taken on a different meaning today. But back in 1611, when they translated the King James 400 years ago, communicate in this context meant to share, to give. But to do good and to give, to share with others, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Hebrews 13, verses 16 and 17. Again, telling us about giving, communicating, and this principle of reaping, sowing and reaping. Now, you can tell a lot about a person's spiritual maturity by how much he or she gives. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a good spiritual thermometer, you might say. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 teaches that we have a responsibility to take care of those who teach and preach the Word of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Brother Dave called me to tell me about the meeting he had in Tennessee and how they really took care of him. And, you know, paid for his airfare and put him in a nice hotel and took him out to eat and gave him a love offering. And I said, Brother Dave, they invited you there to preach. That's what they ought to do. And I said, we do the same thing here. When we have preachers come in here, we take care of them. Make sure they got a nice place to stay. I take them out to eat. We give a love offering. That's what the Bible says. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. It wouldn't be right to bring a man in here and then say, oh, by the way, we're not going to help you with your transportation cost. You're on your own, buddy. Oh, you're hungry? Well, I'm sorry to hear about that. Maybe I can ask a wife to fix you, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, you got no place to stay? Sorry about that. Maybe you can sleep in your car. That wouldn't be right, you see. That wouldn't be the right way to treat God's man. No, it says, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, the Apostle Paul referred to this principle of sowing and reaping several times. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:11. 1 Corinthians 9:11. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. Paul says, if we, now we, he's talking about himself and other preachers. If we have sown, come on, reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Then what's he talking about? Well, first of all, carnal things here means things for the body. Food to eat. Clothes to wear. Shelter from the elements. Roof over the head. That's what he's talking about. He says, if we've sown unto you spiritual things, meaning the Word of God and preaching and teaching, isn't it a great thing if we shall reap things that we need for our bodies? Make sure we're able to get fed and take care of ourselves. That's the idea here. Again, the principle of sowing and reaping when it comes to giving. And then verse 14 also. I wish we had time to read this whole passage. Really, the whole passage is important. But just to save time, look at verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. That's the idea. Now, of course, this whole passage deals with this principle of taking care of those who preach the gospel. Scofield says in the study Bible, they who preach the gospel ought to deliver the gospel. For example, look at, I guess we have a few minutes, look at verse 7. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care of oxen? So what he's saying is, if even God takes care of oxen, you ought to take care of the preacher. That's what he's saying. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. And then he says, of course, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing, or is it a big thing, if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of his power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, which we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things deliver the things in the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Look also, please, at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Of course, elders are, in this context, talking about pastors. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, going back to Galatians, and chapter 6, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate or share with him that teacheth in all good things. This verse, and this passage, because he talks about reaping, sowing, sowing and reaping, be it seed, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The idea here is that when we take care of God's servants, we will reap a great spiritual blessing. See, verses 6 and 7 are not isolated one from the other. They're connected one to the other. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I remember years ago, I was preaching in a church in Brooklyn. And my wife might remember this meeting. And before I got to preach, the preacher said, he was one of these fellows who I guess came from a rough background in Brooklyn and kind of prided himself on that. You know, he was a tough guy, so to speak. And he said, you know, tonight after he's done preaching, we're going to give a love offering. If his message is any good. If it's no good, we don't give a good love offering. I'm thinking, wow, I better preach a good message because otherwise I'm not going to get a good love offering. Well, I guess I must have laid an egg that night because the offering wasn't very good, you know. But here's what I'm getting at. That man's not in the ministry now. Yeah. Last time Carl and I ran to him, he was in the city, a vendor, selling hats in Manhattan, down by Times Square. So he's not in the ministry anymore. Well, now, I'm not trying to pick on him. He's a nice enough guy. But the point I'm trying to make is you reap what you sow. You see? You reap what you sow. And the Bible says you take care of God's man, you're going to get a blessing. And you don't take care of God's man. I can honestly say, every preacher who's come through here, I did my dead level best to take care of them. I really do. Make sure they're comfortable, make sure they have a place to stay and food to eat and give them a good love offering. We pick up an offering, you know, if the offering's not good enough, I'll add a little to it. You know, I say to Brother Gary, how's the offering? He'll hand it to me and I'll say, oh, that's pretty good, most of the time. Once in a while, a little low, I'll add a little something to it. You've got to take care of God's man, amen? And that's what it's saying here. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that seeketh in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's see. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. Do you get that? In other words, if we take care of God's man, we get the same reward he's going to get. Now you think about that. You have a preacher coming through here, maybe a missionary, an evangelist, and you give him a nice offering, or you take him out to eat, or you do something kind. Now look at this promise here. You that receive a righteous man, the name of a righteous man, you'll receive this righteous man's reward. You receive a prophet and give them receive the prophet, the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. So you'll get the same blessing and reward they're going to get. That's what Jesus said, Matthew 10:41. So the point I'm trying to make tonight is reaping, you reap what you sow when it comes to giving. And there's great blessings for those who sow generously. The idea is that when you take care of the man who's laboring in the Word, him that is taught in the Word. And not just a man, by the way. I was really impressed that a lot of people were so kind and generous when Lynn was here, too. I don't know if I told, I think most of you heard the latest I heard from her. She and Nisi were going to go get some blankets, because they're not used to the cold weather, being from the Philippines. And they were $5 each at Walmart. That's a pretty good price, it seems to me, for a blanket. I don't know. I don't go shopping much. That sounds a pretty good deal. But nevertheless, they didn't buy the blankets because, well, we got to buy some books. I mean, they're really counting their nickels and dimes, you know. Let's hold off. We got to get some books. Well, they got back to the dormitory, and there's a big box outside their dormitory room with blankets and warm clothing and winter jackets and all that. Somebody from the church bought all that for them. Amen? So this principle applies to not just the preachers, but here you got some young ladies studying for the ministry at a Christian Bible college. And the same thing, let him that is taught in the Word communicate, share unto him that teaches all good things. If you have to see, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the people who bought those things for them, they're going to get a great blessing for that. They're going to reap what they sow. You can mark it down. You see? Now how we sow is up to us. That's up to us. But once we have sown, we cannot change the harvest. Keep that in mind. For he that soweth to his flesh, and that's all some people care about, is their own flesh. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I believe with all my heart, if every Christian truly understood this principle and followed it, there'd be so much more happening as far as getting the gospel out. There'd be more churches established, more churches built, more missionaries going forth, more tracts and Bibles printed, more tracts and Bibles distributed, more gospel programs on television and radio, and there'd be a whole lot more happening. More souls would be saved, and the gospel would go forth much more effectively if every Christian understood this principle of sowing and reaping. But I'm afraid many don't. Again, look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There you have it. You reap what you sow. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. One of my favorite Bible teachers, preachers, was Harry Ironside. He said this: he who seeks only to be benefited by others and is not concerned about sharing with them will have a Dead Sea kind of a life. It is said that nothing can live in that body of water because it has no outlet. And though millions of tons of fresh water pour into it every week, evaporation and mineral deposits make it so bitter and acrid that it cannot sustain life. He who is more concerned about giving to others than about receiving for himself will be constantly fresh and happy in his own experience and will enjoy all the more the good things ministered to him. What a contrast we have here. Those who are those who don't give generously, Those who only seek to be benefited, those who are only concerned about themselves, he says, have a Dead Sea kind of a life. And he said, nothing can live in that body of water because it has no outlet. On the other hand, those who give generously, he said, are constantly fresh and happy. I like that. Let's move on here. We see the principle of reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping when it comes to giving. Also, you reap what you sow when you sin. I suppose that of all the sermons I've heard over the years on sowing and reaping, the strongest have been about this matter of reaping what you sow when you sin. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've seen that time and time and time again. Man goes out and is promiscuous. He winds up with some venereal disease or AIDS or something like that. You see, man goes out and gets drunk and does dope and winds up killing himself in a car wreck. You reap what you sow. That's just the way it is. All the broken homes and broken lives because of sin. You reap what you sow. That's the way it is. And maybe you heard the story. I know I've told it before. There was a fellow in prison. And he was sitting there in his jail cell. And he was trying to sew a button or something on his shirt, trying to sew a shirt. And the chaplain came by and looked at him and said, sewing? And the man looked up at him and said, no, reaping. You reap what you sow. That's just the way it is. He's in jail because he was reaping what he was sowing. You see? And Job chapter 4:8 says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Job chapter 4, verse 8. It has been said, we shall reap if we sow. Sow a thought, and you reap an act. Sow an act, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. There you have it. J. Wilbur Chapman was in Scotland, and J. Wilbur Chapman was a great evangelist. He's been having a long time now. But he's got some great sermons on sowing and reaping also. But he was in Scotland. He preached a message on sowing and reaping. And in the message, Chapman said this, that sin you committed in London, and that sin you committed in New York, you'll reap what you sow. Well, after he finished that sermon, his song leader whispered to him and said, you went too far afield to say that sin you committed in New York. These people never even been to New York before. So far away, you know. But he just felt led to say that, so he said that. The song leader, Charles Alexander, told him, I don't know why you said that, but at the close of the service, three men came forward. And one of them said to J. Wilbur Chapman, you have uncovered a sin I tried to hide for years. I went to New York for 5 days and was so far away from home that I thought I might get away with sin. I sinned and I covered it up all my life. But tonight you exposed it. Can you imagine that? You reap what you sow. And by the way, you can't cover sin. Maybe cover it from other people, but you can't cover it from God, right? King David thought he was going to cover it up from other people, but God exposed that sin, right? You can't do that. Well, let me say this before we conclude tonight. First, we looked at you reap what you sow when you give, and you reap what you sow when you sin. I also want to say this, you reap more than you sow. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. You reap more than you sow. Now, sowing the wind, they've sown the wind, Hosea says, that represents that which lacks substance. It's a picture of sowing to the flesh. Look at Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So sowing to the wind and reaping the whirlwind, that means just sowing to the flesh. Something that's got no profit in it at all. It's like all efforts of the flesh. It's futile, worthless, of no assistance. Proverbs 11, verse 29 says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And the whirlwind, in Hosea 8:7, for they sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. That reminds us that you reap much more than you sow. Now that's true in the spiritual realm as well as the natural realm, the physical realm. A farmer, when he sows, he expects to get a good harvest. He wants to reap more than he sown. That's just the way it is. Reaping the whirlwind teaches us that sowing to the flesh is self-destructive. Now in nature, you always sow more than you reap. It's true in the spiritual realm as well. The harvest is always greater than the seed planted. That's a great blessing if we sow to the Spirit, but a serious warning if we sow to the flesh. Now, let us consider sowing to the Spirit, and let us not be weary in well-doing, verse 9. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to have a great harvest someday if we're faithful. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So you reap more than you sow. Consider Proverbs 22, verses 8 and 9. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. See the contrast? Of course, most of the Proverbs are like that, with the contrast, the couplets. But he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. But he says, on the other hand, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And we see that here in our text tonight, too. Look at Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, and by the way, we all have opportunities, if we're looking for the opportunities. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Obviously, to give priority to those of the household of faith. If I can only help two people, I mean one person, and two people have a need, one's a saved man, one's an unsaved man, I'm going to help the saved man, amen? That's just the way it is. If I can help both of them, I'll help both of them. But it says here, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. All men. We should have to give a helping hand to those we can't, even if they're not saved. But, he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We should especially try to look out and help those of our fellow Christians. So you reap more than you sow. And he says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. So it's a warning to those who sow to the flesh. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So they have a great contrast. You got to sow to the flesh or sow to the Spirit. And Proverbs 22:8 says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Soweth iniquity means trouble, wickedness, sorrow. On the other hand, he that is generous and gives his bread to the poor shall be blessed. Let me give a true story. Dr. Howard Kelly. I've heard this story several times over the years, and I've mentioned it before when I'm preaching. Dr. Howard Kelly was a distinguished physician who in 1895 founded the John Hopkins Division of Gynecologic Oncology at John Hopkins University. He was also a Christian. In 75% of his cases, he neither sought nor received a fee for his surgery. He only charged the 25% when the people had quite a bit of money. If people didn't have the money, he didn't charge them. Furthermore, he paid the salary for a nurse to visit and care for those patients who could not afford such treatment. They couldn't afford it. He paid for a nurse out of his own pocket to take care of it. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. By the way, I believe that if we had more Christian doctors like that, we wouldn't need, Medicare and Obamacare and Medicaid and all that kind of stuff. We wouldn't need that if we had good Christian doctors that were like that. That's just my opinion. But anyway, some say we still don't need those things. Well, I don't know, but here, let me tell you a story about him. According to Dr. Kelly's biographer, Audrey Davis, the doctor was on a walking trip through northern Pennsylvania one spring day when he stopped by a farmhouse for a glass of water. A little girl answered the door. He was knocking on the door. A little girl came to the door, and she not only was willing to give him a glass of water, but she brought him a nice glass of milk, fresh milk. He chatted with her briefly, thanked her, and then went on his way. Didn't think he'd ever see her again. Total stranger. Sometime after that, that very same girl came to him as a patient needing surgery. After the surgery, the bill was brought to her room, and on it were these words: paid in full with one glass of milk. Yeah? That's a nice story, eh? That young girl at that early age learned the principle of sowing and reaping. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to preach tonight. And